Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, November 21st. Still gearing up for the holidays, Thanksgiving right around the corner, end of the church year, Christmas, Epiphany, Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, not too far away. So we've been spending the whole week talking about gearing up for the holidays. Great guest lined up for today. Great topic, an important topic to discuss today as we're looking toward the holidays. While many of us are probably excited or thrilled, looking forward to great days ahead, some of us might be thinking, not so thrilled about the holidays this year after losing a loved one or other things that might make us feel a little bit blue about the approaching holidays. So we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit with our professionals. If you'd like to join the conversation today, you can do so. 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis area. 1-800-730-2727 is the toll-free number. You can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting our program today. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section and the CUW logo in that sponsor section. Click on it. It'll take you to their page. You can find out all about the great programs they have to offer and the locations. It's not just in Wisconsin. They're everywhere, even here in St. Louis. So go check it out, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. You can find out about it. Well, our topic today, as I said earlier, coping with the holiday blues. And to help us prepare for that discussion, to help us get into that discussion and deal with that topic today, joining us in the studio, therapist Janine Liebman from practice right here in the St. Louis area. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning, Andy.
Great to have you back. You're kind of a pro at this radio. This isn't your debut. You've been doing this with us for a while now, so good to have you back with us.
Thank you.
And also joining us, a regular here on Faith and Family and other programs at KFUO, Dr. Rick Mars from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, the director of the Master of Divinity program, as well as Alternate Route Program and Associate Professor of Practical Theology. That's a long title.
And licensed psychologist and other things after that.
So a really long title.
Tennis coach.
Now, that's the one that we're going to focus in on today. Tennis coach. Well, it's good to have you both here. When thinking about the holidays, you know, many folks, many of us are probably really excited. I know in our family, you know, we've got a newborn, so the family is really excited. But it wasn't necessarily that case, that situation a few years ago. We had lost loved one after loved one, you know, as the family got older, losing grandparents and great-grandparents and parents. Now, you know, it's a little bit different for us and with having a newborn in the family. But I know that it's challenging to go through those holidays. It was over 20 years ago. My grandmother actually passed away on Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so for my father, that was his mother, for my father, Christmas was always, the next few years was always a difficult time. So I know that families and individuals face this on a regular basis, that it's, how do you face the holidays? You know, Thanksgiving right around the corner, that's a time when many families get together here in North America, but families around the world, around the globe, you know, facing other holidays and traditions coming up in the coming months. How do you deal with that? So some of the scenarios we might look at today, you know, facing the holidays with a loved one who's passed and gone on before us. And also, maybe they're still alive, but we can't be together for the holidays. Maybe serving in the military or a career has them deployed and serving somewhere else where we can't be together during that time. So a couple of scenarios that we want to look at today. As we're thinking about that, Janine, you work in a private practice and you deal with all kinds of things in that private practice. And Dr. Mars, you work with students on a regular basis and teaching from a pastoral perspective as well. It'll be helpful to have all these perspectives in the conversation. Janine, when we're talking about coping with a loved one, what are some things that come to mind, especially as the holidays are approaching?
Well, I think probably one of the most important things to start with is, depending on how close to the holidays or if this is your first holiday without your loved one, is to understand that grief is different and unique with each person. So there is no one correct way to grieve. There is no one set of expectations. And, you know, you should be over it by now. And why are you still sad and feeling feeling some kind of pressure that I need to be going through this in a certain way. So grief looks different for everyone. And so I think that we need to keep that in mind, and that it's okay that you approach the holidays and it's going to be unique to you. Don't have unrealistic expectations on yourself. I think that's probably first and foremost what you need to keep in mind as you're going into this season.
Now, Rick, you said, you know, when we brought these topics to you, said, you know, I've got experience with both of these.
Well, yeah.
With both of these topics. What do you have to share with us?
Well, the personal experience, yeah, my father passed away October of 2011. And so we went through that process then of facing Thanksgiving just the month after that. And then Mom and Dad's wedding anniversary was actually Thanksgiving Day, and going through Christmas and all those sorts of things. So just very, very difficult to be constantly reminded to be going through the grief and have that constant missing kind of feeling something major is not right here. The sadness that just gets intensified when you realize that somebody who you really want to be there isn't there and won't be back. But still being there with family made it through that first sequence. And then, you know, for a lot of people, that grief process goes on pretty strongly for more than a year. And so going through that second Christmas even was a bit of a challenge. You know, it'd gotten somewhat muted, somewhat less intense than the first time. But my mom and I actually had a conversation a month or so ago, and kind of saying, yeah, this upcoming Christmas now, you know, 24 months, you know, two Christmases later, doesn't quite feel as intense as the previous two Christmases, previous two holidays. And I think that's probably a fairly good, you know, a lot of my other therapist friends remind me and others that, you know, it does often take like 18 months to go through this whole process to where it doesn't feel as intense as it does in those first few months. So
grieving can take a long time. It's mm-hmm. not just something that happens overnight and that you're immediately done with it. Now, right. For some people, it may be shorter, and you don't have to feel guilty about it being
right.
shorter, but it's okay if it lasts longer.
Right.
And as you said, Janine, it's everybody's going to be different. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Don't have those high expectations of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
As you were, you mentioned, Rick, as you were dealing with it, not only were you dealing with it on an individual level, but also with your family. Mm-hmm. You know, holidays are times to get together with family. What about those times when, you know, some of us just may feel like, you know, I don't even want to get together with family this year. I'm just so sad about it. You know, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to get together. What are your thoughts, Janine?
I think that, again, we need to be flexible, and we need to give people permission to do what they need to do. And I think it's okay to have some options through the holidays. You know, you don't have to maintain all of these traditions that we've always done just because we've always done it. I think it's important to maintain pieces of them, the parts of traditions that are very important to you. We lost my grandmother about 5-6 years ago, and you know, we lost her on Palm Sunday. Easter was really not that hard. Thanksgiving wasn't that hard, but Christmas Eve was very difficult because we'd always gone to her house on Christmas Eve. And the first couple of years, again, were very hard, and we really tried. We've always had a traditional Swedish dinner there, and mm-hmm. we tried to do that. But over the last couple of years, we've realized, you know, there's bits and pieces of that we want to maintain and that we want to keep doing. So I guess feeling you don't need to feel obligated to do everything. Do what feels important to you. Do what is meaningful to you. But don't put that pressure on yourself.
Rick, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, and also be aware, again, there's going to be a lot of different family dynamics, and Janine and I have seen lots of different family dynamics in counseling sessions through the years. And so, you know, there may be some where it'd be healthier to not be together. But in a lot of situations, you know, if it's something you just don't feel like, it may be important to at least go through that first time with the family, even if it doesn't completely feel right, even if you know it's going to be awkward. Because grieving together, acknowledging the loss that mm-hmm. you've had together, is very important. Even if you can, you know, maybe you did spend 12 hours together in previous Christmases. If you can spend 2 hours together for a meal, to get through that, maybe it'll start to normalize things for the following years. Mm-hmm.
And I know in our family, and Janine, you brought this up too, that having a meal together, you mentioned it too, a meal together is usually the center part of, mm-hmm. of holidays. For our families, you know, that is, especially on on my side of the family, the meal is really what we spend most of the time doing there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're grieving, sometimes food just doesn't sound mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
Food doesn't sound good. And that's really, you know, one of the main things we do. What are some other ideas of things that you can do when you get together with family? If eating is usually the central part of what you do, what are some other things you can do to help you through that grieving process? You said, you know, it's important to get together with that, mm-hmm. with family in most cases. If you don't feel like eating and eating just kind of makes it worse, other things that you could do while you're gathering together with family?
Well, as a pastor, I would say worshiping together would obviously be an important thing for the vast majority of Christians to consider. If you can go and hear the word of the Lord, in fact, I was in preparing for this kind of struck by, you know, one of the famous Christmas texts from Isaiah 9. Actually starts off with the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who walk in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You know, it's almost seems like it's talking about grief and how we're walking through it. I mean, it has kind of a remnant or an echo of, mm-hmm. of 23rd Psalm in there as well. And yet, if we can stay with a focus on who the light is and how we are still grieving. I mean, I always like to emphasize as a pastor, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we grieve as those who have hope. We do not grieve as those who have no hope is actually how Paul puts it. But by implication, we grieve as Christians, but we grieve in a different way because we know that we're going to get to see those loved ones in the future, those who died in the faith as well. And so just knowing that grief process is there.
It's part of the flesh that we live in.
Right, right. Death is not a natural thing. I mean, my exegetical friends, especially Jeff Gibbs, like to really emphasize that death is not a natural thing mm-hmm. for us. You know, our evolutionary sort of perspective in the culture tries to make it sound natural, but this is not how humans were designed. And Adam and Eve were designed to live forever, and death is something that comes crashing into our world. Obviously, the good news is we have a mm-hmm. Savior who has conquered death itself through his resurrection. So.
Thanks for bringing that up. That's a really important, I think, an important point for us to understand when we're grieving is that death is not how we were designed. That's not what God intended for man. And we've talked with Professor Pless from Concordia Theological mm-hmm. Seminary in Fort Wayne about his recent publication on mercy at life's end and mm-hmm. and. He brought that point up as well. It's the rest of the culture wants us to think death is natural. It's part of the circle of life. And so it's just, you know, one thing that we all go through and it's okay. Embrace it. But it's not. Mm-hmm. It's not what we were designed to do. It is something we have to endure in this life, but it's not really who we are, who God designed us to be. Mm. It's part of that flesh that fallen flesh that we deal with. Mm-hmm. Janine, any thoughts on any other ideas? We talked about worshiping. You know, Dr. Morris said gathering together around the word is certainly important, and that's where our hope comes from. Other ideas for families as they gather together, what they can do when they're gathering together if they're missing a loved one?
This would be dependent on the family and where they are in their grieving. But what I've seen working with a lot of people who are really struggling with grief and loss is that when they can get outside of themselves and pour themselves into someone else, mm-hmm. it can be very healing for them. And so maybe together as a family, you know, you go Christmas caroling or go Christmas caroling in a nursing home or bring mm-hmm. cookies to a nursing home. Or work downtown at a rescue mission, mm-hmm. Doing something together that gets you outside of yourself and gives to someone else, I think can be very healing. Again, though, it just depends on where your family is.
Sure. Yeah, for some, visiting a nursing home, if the loved one you lost was elderly, mm-hmm. it might be a great match, or it might be
right.
something that you just can't even face at that time.
Exactly.
It really depends. But a great idea, and that's so true, getting outside yourself, and can really change your whole perspective on the season, mm-hmm. your whole perspective on life. Quite often, I know from personal experience, it's very easy to spiral downward very quickly when the focus is on self. Mm-hmm. And I guess that comes back to that fallen nature, that sinful flesh that we walk in daily, just to focus on self.
Yeah, I was going to chime in on that. I actually written down that note too, volunteering. You know, we talked about a meal. Maybe instead of having a meal, the family goes and volunteers mm-hmm. at some sort of meal for the community in some way, so that it's a completely different circumstance than what you've done before, but mm-hmm. you're still focused around a meal, and you are getting outside yourself and helping others.
And the activity itself, just the movement, the activity mm-hmm. keeps us mm-hmm. from being lethargic and sedentary, but getting up and getting out and doing something different to help change that focus. If the event was, in some cases, the loved one, it might have been an anticipated loss, an elderly relative. In the event that it was something tragic, that was unexpected, and that holiday is coming around and it's too much to handle, too much to bear. Any thoughts on that? When it was a tragic loss, something that was just terribly tragic, unexpected, you can't face the holidays. You don't want to face the holidays together. Any thoughts on that?
Well, probably just it's going to be similar, but just even more intense, because there's going to be perhaps anger, focused at the other driver that, mm-hmm. caused the car accident that led to the death of the loved one. Or there's anger at the loved one because they were drinking and driving and that was what caused their death, or any sorts of things, that there's just usually even more intense emotions intertwined. There's often anger, that we might direct towards God when, somebody that we lose, even an elderly loved one that we sort of expected to maybe go at in a certain time frame. But when somebody younger, this is, we live in a culture that doesn't expect death to come before age 70. And, previous cultures, it wasn't like that. Previous generations, it wasn't like that. My wife works at Concordia Historical Institute, and I walked in one day and she was kind of grieving herself. She was looking through old church records, and like every third church record for the funeral was an infant, back in the 1880s. And,
sure, we didn't have the medicine and the technology.
And stuff. Right. All right. So they were going through this sort of tragedy on a regular basis. Now then, that would just be shocking for us, but because it is so shocking, it brings out a lot of other emotions. So.
Mm-hmm. Coping with a tragic loss. Any thoughts, Janine?
Well, I think what Dr. Myers was saying earlier, and you were saying too, that death is not good. I guess maybe we as a church family, as friends, those who are around a family who has had a tragic loss, need to keep that in mind and don't simplify it. Don't try to make them feel better by saying, well, this was God's plan, or everything will be okay. They're in a better place. While those may be true, they don't need to hear that. They just need to know that we're with them, mm-hmm. that we're alongside them, and that we suffer with them as God did and does with us.
Calls us to bear one another's mm-hmm. burdens.
Yeah.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Rick Myers and Janine Lieben, therapist, about coping with the holiday blues as the holidays are approaching. And if you'd like to join the conversation today, have a question for our guests, you can do so. 314-821-0850 is the number in St. Louis. Toll free 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. Now, we've been talking about this in general terms, but what about helping children cope with the loss of a loved one with the holidays approaching, whether it, they've lost a friend, grandma or grandpa, or a parent or a sibling? How do you help children cope through those, cope with that loss in approaching the holidays, especially with, many family traditions, quite often many of them are around the children, especially presents and things like that. But Thanksgiving and other holidays, how do you help children deal with those? Janine?
Well, depending on their age, you know, kids have a limited capacity to understand death. Mm-hmm. And yet they're going to feel emotions and probably not understand those emotions. And so probably one of the most important things we can do is help kids give word to what they're feeling, verbalize, express it, maybe draw pictures, but in just some way, you know, help kids understand that it's okay to feel these different things and help them express them in some way.
To help them articulate what it is they're feeling.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's very good on children, depending on if they're like 3 to 5, experience death in one way. I mean, they don't really even understand the permanence of it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so they may want daddy to come back and be voicing that sort of thing at Christmas time, which will obviously be very difficult for mommy to go through and other relatives to help them through. But again, having them, giving them some voice, asking them to draw pictures, you know, of whoever the loved one is that they're missing, you know, if it's grandmother or aunt or whatever.
Are children or teens likely to act out in anger after the loss of a loved one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Around, you know, with the holidays coming, they're angry that mom or dad or grandma or grandpa aren't there to celebrate the holidays with them.
Right, right. And just to be able to give voice to that as well. So you're feeling really frustrated. You're feeling really furious at God or whoever, you know, at dad, giving some sort of voice to that, those sorts of feelings as well is important, not to push it away or say you shouldn't feel that way. You know, feelings are what feelings are. As long as somebody's not acting out violently, it's okay to express those angry feelings, and we want them to.
And I think it's important, too, to validate those feelings. You know, if your little one comes to you and says, I miss daddy, I'm so sad, or I'm so mad, I want him to be here, say, I do too. And I'm really mad or sad, and I really want him to be here too. Let them know that that's normal. Mm-hmm. And I feel the same way too.
Mm-hmm. When is it, you know, anger and sadness, all those feelings are normal that come with that grieving process. When is it important to seek the help of a professional? What are the signs to look for, whether it be in ourselves or in a loved one? What are the signs to look for that say, you know, you really need to seek the help of a professional, or let me help you find someone to help you with that? What are the things we need to look for?
Well, I always think it's maybe helpful to seek that out, even if you don't think that things are completely falling apart. Maybe, you know, go and establish a relationship with a counselor during those first 3 months that you're grieving the loss of a loved one. You know, there are lots of self-help groups that hospitals and other groups put together for people that are going through grief. There's a griefshare.org website that I was looking at this morning that actually a friend of mine, Robert Kellerman, wrote some very interesting, very helpful things about Christians going through grief on that particular website. So, but yeah, reaching out, even if you only go to see, you know, somebody like Janine once or twice during that first 3 or 4 months, if it starts to become increasingly intense, or the grief doesn't seem to be going a normal, natural, you know, 18 months later, it still feels as like you're going through the roller coaster of emotions, just like you did back in month one. Well, then probably is important to go and spend some time with somebody, with a professional counselor that can help you through why is this particular grief, and perhaps because we've got some unresolved grief issues that stem back 20 or 50 years ago, you know, the loss of a parent or a loved one that came unexpectedly that we didn't talk with somebody about 30, 40 years ago. And now then that's just gotten re-intensified. So
we need to take a short break. When we come back from that break, though, I want to hear Janine's thoughts, too, on that, about seeking out professional help when dealing with grieving. And then talking about dealing with the feeling blue with the holidays approaching, knowing that your loved one is fine, but you can't be together for the holidays. Mm-hmm. So stick around. We're talking with Janine Lehman, therapist, and Dr. Rick Mars from Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis about coping with the blues for the holidays. Stick around. More right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Thank you.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When the European Union was formed, I and other pro-life leaders were concerned they'd use this to browbeat European countries into legalizing abortion. Recently, the Council of Europe, Europe's main human rights entity, was asked if abortion was a human right, and if so, should it promote abortion? In what was a very rare move, the Council refused to answer due to the fact there was no consensus on abortion. Even the UK, which is liberal on abortion, pushed back. Seems they're tired of having liberal elites imposing their agenda on all of Europe through the courts of the European Union. As the president of the International Rights Life Federation, I find this development encouraging. It'll make our job a little easier to protect unborn babies in this part of the world.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, extending a warm invitation for you to join me for Moments of Assurance each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. Each day I'll share scriptural encouragement along with practical thoughts, humor, trivia, news items, wonderful Christ-centered songs and hymns. It's a great spiritual recipe for your noontime hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance, underwritten in part by Mid-American Coaches and Children's Christian Concern Society, an LCMS-recognized service organization.
Get ready for Giving Tuesday, December 3rd, when people around the world will join in making gifts to their favorite charities. Make a gift to the LCMS Global Mission Fund. Your gift will have an impact felt around the world and be used exclusively to support the Church's Witness, Mercy, Life Together efforts. To witness to God's Word and share the mercy of Christ, make your gift at lcms.org/givingtuesday.
Johann Sebastian Bach once called music an agreeable harmony for the honor of God and the permissible delight of the soul. We believe the great Lutheran composer got it right. That's why we're continuing the tradition of timeless classical music and sacred classics online at classic99.com. Check us out, the greatest music in the world streaming 24/7 on classic99.com, a ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
The Reverend Billy Graham has been hospitalized for the second time in a month. Spokesman Jeremy Bloom says,
Mr. Graham is in Mission Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. He went in for a respiratory congestion issue. It's a similar issue that he had when he was in the hospital a few weeks ago.
Graham spent two nights in the hospital at that time.
As was the case then, we expect this to be a short day or two in the hospital. And he'll return home.
Billy Graham celebrated his 95th birthday November 7th with 900 guests, including his longtime Crusade choir leader Cliff Barrows, Christian singer Michael W. Smith, real estate mogul Donald Trump, and former vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin. Graham's latest evangelistic video was broadcast nationwide that night and in the days that followed. He's been hospitalized for a number of health-related issues in the past few years and now uses a wheelchair. I'm Steve Coleman.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Good to be with you today as we are discussing important topics to prepare us for the holidays. And in studio, joining us live in studio, Reverend Dr. Rick Mars from Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, and Janine Liebman, a therapist, private practice here in the St. Louis area. And we're talking about coping with the blues, the holiday blues, as the holidays are approaching. And Janine, before we went to break, we were talking about, oh goodness, I lost my train of thought. We were talking about when to... When is it important to seek help? Yes.
Well, I think this probably goes for depression of any kind, but what I encourage people to do is if they start noticing changes in their physical body, if they're really having problems with sleep, if they're not eating, and we're not talking about the first few weeks or even months after a loss, but if it's going on several months later and your physical body is mm-hmm. being affected, you're not getting out of bed, you're not showering, you're not able to function at work, those are the times that you really need to get in and seek some help.
So watch for those signs, whether it's yourself or someone else, you see those signs in someone else. Well, I want to remind our listeners, if you want to join the conversation today, you can do so 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 or email your questions to family@kfuo.org and kfuo.org. And let's go to our listener lines right now. Let's go to Cheryl in Indianapolis. Good morning, Cheryl. What's your question?
Good morning. I just have a comment. You were talking about ways to help others, helping children cope with the death of a loved one. I actually was doing that. My dad's cousin, who was the same age as my dad, died at the age 103 on Reformation Day. Her funeral was on November 9th. It happened to be the same date my dad's funeral was on in 2007. But I was there with my mom trying to help her child, her son, who is nearing 70, cope with the death of his loved one. And what was helpful was remembering the faith of his mom, remembering her character, her nature. She really liked to swim, and she was in swimming even at age 101, I think. She was in some sort of senior Olympics. But just remembering what she was like, and that's very helpful for a child coping with the death of a loved one, with their mother or father. And what has helped me coping with the death of my father is, since I've gotten the internet this year, I got into the Bible study I get to get into God's Word, and I realize I've gotten so much comfort from that.
Definitely. Okay. Studying, remembering those things about our loved ones that we're fond of, but even more so getting into the Word of God. Thanks, Cheryl, for your insights and for your phone call today.
Thank you.
Dr. Morris?
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of reminds me of Isaiah 53:4. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I mean, it's just one of those key texts about the Messiah who was to come and what Jesus actually did for us and the importance of studying God's Word and, again, saying some of those things with children so that they can be comforted by the gospel and encouraging parents, grandparents, to continue to talk about the loved one over mm-hmm. Christmas time. You know, what do you remember about Granddad from last Christmas? You know, what do you think Granddad would have said to us if he was still here? All that sort of acknowledgement and not trying to, you know, just ignore that there's this big elephant in the room, mm-hmm. The missing elephant in the room that is actually there. We need to talk about it persistently. Mm-hmm. So.
And I think, too, with children especially, but for all of us, having something tangible to help remember. Pictures are mm-hmm. wonderful. I remember after my grandmother died, we all went through her jewelry, and we cried and we laughed, and it was so helpful. And kids, too, if they have been given a gift, a toy or something, that they can bring it out and they can talk about it. And do you remember when Grandma or Grandpa gave me this? And so I think those tangible reminders are very important at that time as well.
Mm-hmm. From a pastor's perspective, when the loved one, when we're not sure what if they truly knew the love of Jesus, if they knew the gospel, what comfort, what hope can you bring to the family when they have those questions, when they have those doubts?
Right. To focus on, you know, who Jesus is, and that even if in their last moment they repented and they'd heard the gospel over and over again from family, and they finally realized, wow, I am going, I want to be with family, you know, whatever their motivation, whatever motivation the Holy Spirit used to bring them could have happened in those closing seconds to focus on their own baptism. You know, if they were baptized in an earlier stage but didn't seem to live out that baptismal life, to really focus on those sorts of things is what we cling to. It's not that we focus on the person's faith. We focus on the gracious God, the loving Savior who has saved us, and we can do that regardless of exactly what we know about the other person's faith. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's more comforting to know, yes, this person was in church every Sunday. This person acknowledged, you know, publicly their faith in Jesus Christ that we saw in their lives. That's why it's important for people at all ages to be involved in church so that we can model that for everybody else. We are so individualistic that we say it's just between me and Jesus and nobody else needs to know about my faith. No, that's not really true. Family members want to know about your faith.
So. And it's important for every generation in a family to know that faith, to know that giver of faith.
Right.
Absolutely. And by modeling it, what a great way to pass that gift on to the next generation.
And even if you have doubts about it, to go and then talk to a pastor about those doubts that you have and be assured by somebody who is professionally trained to help give that assurance. Mm-hmm. So.
I want to move into our other topic, and that is when we're separated from loved ones that for the holidays, whether it be because of job or financial situation, when we can't be together for the holidays, some tips or some things that might help us through those times. Obviously, you know, we have great technology today, so we can talk in a variety of ways on the phone and Skype and things like that. But anything else beyond that that might help us prepare for those holidays? Maybe, we just don't want to celebrate the holidays because if I can't be with them, then I just don't want to celebrate it. Janine?
I mean, there's two different sides to it. There's the side of the family who doesn't have their loved one with them, and then there's the side of the loved one who's by themselves or whatever. Mm-hmm. So as a family member who's missing, you know, their loved one because they're gone, I think it would be helpful to know that other people remember that and other people are thinking of your loved one as well. And so, you know, not only am I going to send them gifts, but hey, would you mind sending a card or a gift or making sure that, you know, the community of faith and the community of family and friends remembers that person as well. And then if, you know, we've had this just being away from family through the holidays, my husband being a pastor, we lived in North Carolina for a couple of years and we couldn't get back to the Midwest to see our family. So starting new traditions, doing something different that you've never done before, maybe you've always wanted to go visit a different place for a holiday, or you wanted to, some people love to go to Branson and look at the lights down there. And so, you know, take an opportunity to try something different that you wouldn't normally get to do if you had your family all around you.
We are greatly blessed. I mean, I lost an uncle earlier this summer who was almost 90 years old and served as a pilot in World War II. And I just kind of think back, what would it have been like to be, you know, missing a loved one in World War II or Korean War, where we didn't have all this technology and, you know, a complete disconnect. The only connection you had was an occasional letter and so forth. And so it is a great blessing that, you know, family members can Skype across to Afghanistan or wherever they might be with their loved one. And again, I think nearly all of them enjoy and really the ones that I was a pastor in Junction City, Kansas, which is right next to Fort Riley. And I just know a lot of the families really appreciated being able to do that in various stages of the conflicts that our country has been in over the last, 12 years now. But, you know, it is difficult not having them physically there as well. And it's one of the other things I learned, is even challenging when they come back because the family adjusts to all these other kind of ways of coping. And all of a sudden, you know, dad's back and dad's not quite the same as he was before because he's, you know, dealing with some of his own issues and he's driving the truck faster than he did before because, you know, when he was in Iraq, he had to drive the truck, had to drive the Humvee fast all of the time. And it just situations where, you know, the family isn't the same as when Dad left, mm-hmm. and he wants to come back and have it be exactly the same, and Mom has taken on this greater share of the leadership, and all of a sudden she's not really ready because he doesn't know that the kids are now a year older and they've changed in these ways. And
routines have schedules have changed. Yeah.
Right. So he comes back in and he feels kind of like a foreigner for the first month or two that he's there, and that's not a comfortable feeling for anybody. So. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Giving each other time, talking those things through, maybe and seeing the pastor or seeing a counselor to help get through. And again, the military is, at least in my experience, I mean, I've been away from parish life for 6-7 years now, but at that place. But military has generally been pretty good at providing the counseling support mm-hmm. for that. So,
and like we said earlier, the technology certainly can be helpful in communicating. But you're right, that day-to-day life certainly changes over time when someone's deployed or a career has taken them somewhere else for a long period of time. Those day-to-day things that we think are just mundane and normal add up. Mm-hmm. That adds up. You know, how many birthdays, how many other holidays have gone by that have happened and traditions that have happened in a family over that time that have developed and evolved, especially family, I'm sure, with young children, those new traditions that have developed over that time mm-hmm. to come back and find out, oh, this is how we do Christmas now. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how we do Thanksgiving. I'm sure that's got to be challenging. So to be, to realize that when a loved one returns home, to expect that they might be surprised or to be understanding when things are different and to be flexible. Mm-hmm. One other thing that's come to mind recently, as we're thinking about the holidays, as in our family, we have, you know, a lot of traditions with Thanksgiving, with Christmas. Thanksgiving, the family gets together and all the sisters, all my mom's sisters, they all get together and somebody hosts each year. They rotate who hosts Thanksgiving everybody contributes food to the meal. Everybody brings like 12 dishes and we have more food than is necessary. We could, you know, feed plenty of families with it more than necessary. But as each generation gets older and older, those things become more difficult. Mm-hmm. And so those traditions, are, you know, they have to change. They may have to go away. How do you face those traditions mm-hmm. and the fear of losing those traditions, and changing how you go about the holidays? Because we're getting older and not able to do the things that we've always done before. Janine?
Mm-hmm. I got something to add in, but go ahead.
That's a really good question and really good to think about and something we're dealing with in our families. You know, as you said, as parents age, I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, Mom likes to host mm-hmm. the holidays. And, you know, I think, you know, as grown children, you can kind of watch and see, you know, Mom doesn't quite have the energy that she used to have or, you know, it's taking her longer to do these things or she's really worn out by the end. Mm-hmm. And so probably, you know, very gently offering, you know, can I bring this year? Could I bring this year? You know, Mom may not be ready to let you host, mm-hmm. but, you know, certainly family members, the next generation can step up and offer to take parts of it. And, you know, if you gently ask, you might get further than, Mom, I think it's time for you to hand that over. So, but yeah, it's definitely something I think you need to be communicating with your siblings and your extended family. And how are we going to do this?
Mm-hmm. I just was reminded when you said that Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. So mm-hmm. this faith gets handed down from one generation to another. I was just pondering the other day, I said I'd lost two uncles this year. And it occurred to me that this is going to be the first year. I've always had more aunts and uncles than I have had nieces and nephews. And now it just occurred to me that balance has changed. Mm-hmm. That now that I have more nieces and nephews than I do aunts and uncles. And just, again, that really, I'm in my mid-50s. You two are young. So, you know, that as we age and that older generation then slowly does pass into eternity, pass into paradise. We give thanks for that, but we continue to then to find ways to praise his works to that next generation. So
Good thoughts, good insights. What about your families? What are the traditions in your families that you want to share? Janine, you said some. You know, it's great to think about taking on new traditions, maybe going and exploring new places. What are the families that your traditions are? What are the traditions that your families share over Thanksgiving and Christmas? We've got a little time to take a look at those and share those traditions that maybe our listeners might think, oh, that might be something we take up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of us probably get together and we have all those the fun foods and things like that over the holidays and gifts and stuff. Any unique traditions in your families?
Our families, as I said, being a pastor's family, you don't often get to be with your families on Christmas. And, you know, growing up, we always spent Christmas Eve with my mom's mother, my Grammy, and then Christmas Day we always spent with my dad's family. And so we've had to develop our own traditions, at least on the holidays themselves, usually. And one thing that's kind of just developed over the last, maybe 5 to 8 years in our family is my husband and I have 3 boys. They get up earlier than I do on Christmas morning, and they put together a scavenger hunt for me. My husband has a gift, and it's so cute because the boys just absolutely love hiding the clues and coming up with the next clue, and it's gotten to be something that the whole family just enjoys. So it's kind of unusual, a Christmas scavenger hunt, but that has become something that's a tradition now in our family.
That's a fun tradition for kids to do, yeah. For parents. I like that idea.
Actually, we do something a little bit similar. We've got the creche, the nativity scene all up, but one person in the family gets to hide baby Jesus and doesn't tell anybody else. And so then on Christmas morning, it's okay, we play the warmer, colder sort of mm-hmm. thing until we find where baby Jesus is and put baby Jesus. We actually have the wise men usually off in the east window somewhere. And so they slowly move. Again, I have adult children now, 21 and 25-year-olds, and we're going to get to celebrate the first Christmas with the first grandchild. So the one generation to another shall praise your mighty works is going on here. But one of the traditions we have is to put up the Christmas tree with all the Christmas ornaments that we've collected throughout mm-hmm. the years. And that's a fairly, so we've got several new Christmas ornaments. And in fact, I'm going to, the scallop that I used to baptize my granddaughter, I'm going to drill a little hole in, and then we're going to give that to to my daughter and son-in-law as a Christmas tree ornament for them to have in the future.
So if they're listening, the surprise is ruined.
Well, no, they've known it, because I used a scallop. I actually asked them, would you like me to drill a hole in this, or you want it just as it is? Would you like it as a Christmas tree ornament? And my daughter said, oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea to have a yearly reminder mm-hmm. of baptism, and hopefully for the next grandchildren be able to use the same scallop and then put it up and say, all 3 of you or 2 of you or 4 of you or whatever the number ends up being, all 4 of you were baptized with that particular scallop. And now that we remember mm-hmm. Christ's birth with your baptismal birth as well at this time. But yeah, just putting up the Christmas tree is a big thing. And our younger daughter is actually spending Thanksgiving with her fiance's family up in Michigan. So we're not actually going to have her here at Thanksgiving, but they're coming back through. He's a seminary student, uh-huh. and they're going to come back through after Thanksgiving, and then we're going to put up the Christmas tree on whatever that Saturday or Sunday after Thanksgiving, even though that's a little bit earlier than what we normally do. But when kids are in college and so forth, that's what you do, because they're not here in December. So
she's going to be away on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, contact Janine about dealing with that loss.
She'll be with us for Christmas, and he'll be with us for Christmas then too. Yeah. So that'll be nice. So
and that brings up another question that, when you were talking about new traditions, especially for new couples, for newlyweds and those who are engaged, I know that's a challenge that a lot of mm-hmm. young people mm-hmm. or new couples face when your families live in different parts of the country, trying to figure out those traditions and trying to respect each other's families, but also try to start new traditions with your own family. That's a challenge. But now, my wife and I are very blessed. While our families across the country, we still manage to make it work and get to see as much of the family as we can over the holidays. And we're blessed that, most of my family's here in the St. Louis area. But how do you how do you avoid ending up in couples therapy?
Well, and honestly, I see couples in therapy because of holiday issues. Right. And especially not only when you have two families, but say you have divorced parents, now you have four families. Mm-hmm. Plus you have your own family, that's five families. Yeah. And you know, it's not a very enjoyable holiday to be running from house to house to house and eating three different big dinners. I mean, so I think parents...
Well, the running part, no. The eating big dinners.
But I think parents need to understand that and not be demanding and not pressure their kids. And, you know, we've worked it out that we alternate Thanksgiving and Christmas mm-hmm. with both sides of our families. So, mm-hmm. And thankfully, the siblings, I only have one sister, so she's pretty easy to work with. But my husband is one of five. And so it's been more challenging to work, you know, to work with everybody. But we've all been tried to be very accommodating and understanding. And so, you know, if you know, parents and families can just kind of understand these are real issues and not put the pressure on their kids. You know, you got to be here by noon on Christmas mm-hmm. or whatever for the meal.
I know. I remember as a child, my family here in the St. Louis area, my dad's side of the family and my mom's side of the family were like maybe lived 10 minutes apart. Mm-hmm. So we did Christmas Eve at both families, both sets mm-hmm. of grandparents. And it's actually kind of eerie how similar the families were when I look back now. As a kid, I thought it was normal. I thought everybody had, you know, three sets of aunts and uncles on both, you know, three to four sets of aunts and uncles on both sides and yeah. you know, a handful of cousins on each side. It was very balanced. And I thought later on, I realized that wasn't life for everybody else. It was just our family. And that I thought everybody had two Christmas Eves on Christmas, you know, two yeah. celebrations on Christmas Eve. And that wasn't normal. We would, you know, we'd go to one family fairly early, you know, I don't know, it was probably like 4 or 5 in the evening and then another one 7 or 8 in the evening. And we did mm-hmm. meals at both places. So dessert at both places was great.
Yeah. And for pastors' families, it's always you know, being involved in the Christmas Eve
right.
service mm-hmm. and so forth as well. And for hopefully lots and lots of Christian families that
right.
Christmas Eve is a big, big time for seeing everybody. So. Mm-hmm.
Sure. And for us, you know, trying to make it then to 11 o'clock service mm-hmm. on Christmas mm-hmm. Eve after all of that, that was always a challenge.
I never did
challenge.
Well with that. 10:30, I need to go to sleep. So.
And I remember one year, I'm serving as a director of Christian education in a congregation that had multiple services on Christmas Eve and not really being able to get away and trying to figure out a meal in between. Mm-hmm. We ended up just, you know, the church staff ended up just having a meal in the parish hall with our families there at church just to, you know, accommodate our families so we could have a meal together.
Yeah.
That was a great tradition that the pastors had started that church. And that was, you know, a nice way to bring our families together yet and allow us the time in the word there as well. So mm-hmm. it was great.
Yeah. One other thing we didn't even include in here in this conversation, I mean, some people, it may be grief, but if it's lingering on into January and February, it could be something like seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good point.
We just have at this time of year, I mean, it's raining outside here in mm-hmm. St. Louis right now. It's dark and dreary and 50 degrees, but, you know, it just continues to get darker and darker, and we get less and less sunlight on our skin. And for a certain percentage, sounds like about 5 to 9%, depending on where you are in the geography of the United States. Seems to be an effect on a number of people. So you've got all these factors coming in at the same time, mm-hmm. Christmas, grief, sunlight, mm-hmm. and so forth. So.
Sure, sure. With about 30 seconds to wrap it up, any final thoughts or any resource or anything that you want to point anybody to, Janine?
Well, so people remember that grieving is actually work. It's called grief work. So it takes energy. It takes emotional energy, certainly. It takes physical energy, too. And so to be gentle on yourself, and if you don't feel like getting all the Christmas cards out or baking all the cookies, or mm-hmm. it's okay. Remember that it's going to take some extra resources to get through the holiday season when you're newly grieving. And so just to be easier on yourself.
Excellent. Good advice. And Dr. Mars?
John 16:33. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world."
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here today and spending some time with us talking about coping with the holiday blues.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Andy.
Coming up tomorrow, we're going to continue talking about preparing for the holidays. We're going to take a look at a number of things, actually, tomorrow. We're going to check in on learn how to check in on older adults. Friday at this
time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.